Welcome to Floating Lifty Podcast. Today is a new day. My name is Shouwen, your tea podcast host. And today we have two lovely tea guests with us. And you are?
I'm Mandy.
And you?
And I'm Adrian.
Yeah. And we are going to drink some tea today. Looks like, so what would you like to drink?
I picked the Buddha Hand.
Buddha Hand. Excellent choice.
Never had this before.
Ah, Buddha Hand is actually a really fun tea plant. We call it the big leaf varietal. So when the tea is fully grown, and the leaves seriously look this big. Mm-hmm. It looks like the size can be as big as I have a tea leaf somewhere.
For those listening at home, how big? As big as your hand.
As big as your hand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I actually picked one and I put it in one of my notebooks, and so you guys can see how it got spread out. It's actually this.
You have like a pressed leaf in a book.
Yeah.
Wow. Tea leaf
somewhere. Yeah.
Do you know where it is?
Oh. I'm a very disorganized person. Everything's in my head. So I have the memory that
it's in your mind palace.
And there's so many palaces right now. I couldn't even find it in my head. But anyway, so there's like small leaf varietal, big leaf varietal, and then middle-sized varietal. Most of the oolongs are actually middle-sized, or whatever town is growing. And then Buddha Hand is one of the exceptions. It's a tea varietal. It's not named after the size. I thought at first it's like, oh, it's so big, it's like the Buddha's hand. Mm. They actually named it after that citrus fruit, Buddha Hand.
Oh.
Did you see that yellow? Ever see that yellow tentacle fruit in a supermarket?
No.
No?
Is it? No.
It's like a citrus.
It's like, you guys probably
almost
saw
pure
it.
Pure rind. There's almost no
fruit?
Meat inside.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Chinese use it. They dry it and then put it in a herbal medicine,
okay.
Kind of a formula. And then here, some people will zest it, kind of like a lemon zest to use it in a
I've never heard of this.
Salad dressing.
And it's called Buddha Hand?
Yeah, let me see if I can pull out the photo for you. Here you go.
Very interesting.
Do you have to go to like Uwajimaya or somewhere?
Yeah. Here you go. You guys see this before. That's it.
I have never seen that. And I, like,
To describe what it looks like a lemon with a carrot tentacles exploding out the back of it.
Here you go. Yeah. Since you guys cannot see my hand, I know we just do this.
It's
you
like,
never see Buddha hand?
It looks like a chicken foot with like way too many
fingers. Yeah, way too many toes. Just
like...
It's but
I don't
lemon,
know if I would
yeah. And then the totally size is actually also this big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Go to Uwajimaya. You guys will see it.
What the all heck?
Right.
How
now
have
we
I missed
have to
this?
Find one.
I know.
It's really fun.
I know what I'm doing on my next day off.
And Buddha Hand varietal, they grow some in Taiwan, but originally it was from Fujian province of China, and then some of the immigrants or tea people moved it and took it to Taiwan. And there's still a few amount of leaves are tea plants are growing in Taiwan. I personally prefer Buddha Hand. Of course, it's a tea plant, so you can make it into any tea that you want. Most of the time, it got made into a oolong, and then sometimes it got made into a lightly oxidized oolong. I don't like that style as much because I feel like it tastes like what is it? Oyster, like raw oyster.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a very different taste.
But after...
For a tea.
I know, right?
It's interesting.
But after Buddha Hand is roasted, smell that. There's no oyster. At least I don't think there's oyster smell in there.
No oysters in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. It's kind of sharp.
Yeah. There's a dryness in the tea. There's that fruit. And I feel like the body will show up more. Mm-hmm. Like I always say each tea plant has its specific tea broth that you want to present. And Buddha Hand And Tie Guan Yin, I feel like they want it to be bolder and heavier. And roasting can show that character a little bit mm-hmm. more. And so I normally, when I carry a Buddha Hen oolong tea here, I like it to be roasted. So let's see if you guys like this or not. And also see if you guys can taste that, oh, but at least that citrus kind of feeling,
mm-hmm.
since you guys never tasted Buddha Hen. It's named after that fruit taste.
We could have a pairing sometime.
Mm.
Drink the Buddha Hen and have a side
have
of Buddha Hen
with
it.
Just the rind with some, like, zestings.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
Put on a cracker with a little bit of ricotta cheese.
Yeah.
Oh.
There we go.
Chef.
Not just a producer.
Fancy, huh?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, and the smell of this one, it's so savory.
It reminds me of like a Di Guan Yin.
Roasted.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah, and also both on some sort of a dark fruit
mm-hmm.
Profile. But you, when you guys drink it, you will see how different these two teas are. Or maybe he gave me a Tie Guan Yin bag. Whoops.
Is this the April Fool's Day podcast?
This shows how much I know about you.
Oh my god. This was actually a test the whole time.
Because the Tie Guan Yin is in that kind of similar bag. No, but I think the rolling is different.
Mm.
It shouldn't be our Tie Guan Yin. It's wonderful to have you guys over. You guys pick teas that I have not been drinking for a while.
This does not taste like Tie Guan Yin,
mm-mm.
so.
Very full.
Mm-hmm.
Fruity for sure, like dark fruit. Throw sensations there. I'm really bad with time nowadays, like which year we bring what tea.
Mm-hmm.
This tea has been here for how many months? I think maybe this tea is from 2017.
2016.
2016? Oh, okay, never mind. It's only 1 year apart, so.
Wow. It's just 1 year.
First crop
came in
2016 it is. And you guys can still taste the roast. When
mm-hmm.
I first decided to buy this tea is back then, and then we actually didn't release it in 2016 because
mm-hmm.
it was bold. It was so strong. But I still decided to buy the teas because first of all, it's not that easy to buy a Buddha Hen tea in Taiwan. Not a lot of farmers grow this varietal.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I find one that I found that the base is actually quite solid, I would decide to buy it. I just decided to buy it.
Yeah.
And we hold on to it for a few years and we slowly release it. If we have the room to do it that way. Some of our teas, like our charcoal roasting, we don't have time to even wait for people anymore because the quantity is so limited and so low. We normally will just release it and just tell people to hold on to the tea for a while by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's no different crops of tea for us to hold on anymore for people. So sometimes I will buy these crops back to back and I'll hold on to a crop purposely for people so that the tea will open up. Because you guys can see, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even after a few years, this tea is still...
Oh, it's got a lot going
on.
Oh,
yeah.
Kind of roasty.
It's...
Can you imagine back then how strong it was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tastes kind of like roasted chestnuts to me, or like that really like not like how they taste but how they smell
mm-hmm.
when they're roasting. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
And
it's the taste in the air.
And
yes.
Now the tea is roughly open up now in the
mm-hmm.
pot. See how dark
mm-hmm.
it is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes farmers will decide to play with their roasting that they want to push the tea more because they think the tea can handle it, and so they will just do a dark roast with the tea. So very different from the light roast He Huan San.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tea, from the beginning intention, that my, of course, my tea friend knew that the tea couldn't be pushed that dark, and it lost the point to push it that dark. But sometimes when a material was finished, the tea was finished, and then the farmer will look at it, or the tea roaster will look at it and say, I wonder how far this tea can be pushed. And they will do that. So that's, you know, really fun.
Lots of experimentation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like this tea. This is like right up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
The roasted stuff.
Yeah.
The flavor profile, I'm a little bit embarrassed to say.
Mm.
It tastes like bran.
Like bran?
Yeah.
Why is it bran? Like,
bran is like a really high fiber,
oh,
like is it a wheat?
It's something like a wheat.
It's like yeah, a toasted wheat.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like, it's got that rich, like super dense, fibery, meaty, wonderful grain flavor to me.
Nice.
But I was embarrassed to say that it tastes.
Bran. Well, you eat bran with like raisins.
Right, that's
and
true.
It's got that
so dark. That's
yeah.
I thought you was about to say it tastes like pee.
No.
Cut.
Well, and in particular, it's the heritage flakes.
Oh, like that kind of bran.
Yeah, like that nice, rich cereal flavor.
Is bran like the? I don't think it's the whole of the grain, but I think it's actually a part of. Other,
like part of the grain?
Wheat has a bran.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Because it's the more fibrous part, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Almost like husk kind of a feeling, but very soft.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time.
Mm. It's just a very comforting flavor for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know that that's like my oddity is I like...
Mm. Old people cereal?
Yeah, basically.
Just say it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I was trying to figure out how to say
high fiber.
High fiber, yeah.
Old people cereal.
That's what we call it at home, because we both really, really like really crunchy, high fiber, no sugar added cereal that you have to like...
How do you call it? The bran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
It's like cardboard.
Yeah.
But not in flavor, just in
just in texture.
In texture.
You have to really chew it.
It's delicious.
Yeah. I know that one.
It's got that like nutty kind of
or like those Ac-Mac
rich flavor
crackers.
Ooh, I like those.
Mm-hmm.
Those.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
also it's got that same roasty, delicious.
Oh. I have to see that kind of cracker.
You might break a couple teeth. They're very dry, but they're delicious.
Maybe
make sure to chew at the strong side.
Yes.
No, I will just eat it before I go to Taiwan.
You could put some
and get my dental work.
Yeah,
it's cheaper. You could put some ricotta and some like zested Buddha hand on there. It'll be
oh, here you go. They will be like eating Buddha
hand. Do like
a
tea tasting.
Yeah. There you go.
It's gonna be perfect.
Yeah, I think this is one of my new. I'm like, ooh, this is what I want to get next.
Yeah, much more mellow nowadays, thank God. And yet it's still a strong tea.
Mm-hmm.
So with roasting tea, it's really fun to hold on to it if you feel like the tea has a lot of potential and then the roast is very strong. Actually, just wait, see how it opens. You dig in a month, two, sometimes in a year.
Mm-hmm.
This tea actually stayed for a few years now and it's still this strong and yet feels like things got integrated much more now. And so roasted teas, if you get a good one, I would say absolutely not in a hurry to finish it up. Actually watch how it changes. Super fun that way. And it will give you some really wonderful surprises sometimes.
Yeah, I think that for me, my like daily drinker, I drink the Taiwan the Wu Yi a lot, just because it's such like a solid, like roasted, warm tea that
mm-hmm.
just kind of is like, I don't know, for me it's not super complex or anything, but
no,
it's just really
mm-hmm.
great.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's like the best way I can, I drink it and I'm like, oh, this is great. Like,
yeah.
But This is like, for me, a similar tea where it's like that nice roasty flavor, but it's got more going on.
Yeah, and the body is fuller too.
Yeah.
Yeah, much richer. Mm-hmm. In a way, and then aftertaste, I would say it will last also longer, so you feel like the tea has a little bit more dimension than mm-hmm. the Taiwan Wuyi. And so sometimes that's why you need to I always say people need to train themselves to learn to taste tea and buy tea accordingly. Mm-hmm. Is Taiwan Wuyi a bad tea or an amazing tea? Well, judging on the price, is very adequate for the price. And it's very adequate for just like you said, I drink it and I like it.
Yeah.
And then it serves the purpose. Mm-hmm. Is it like something inspiring? Maybe not. But we are not trying to sell that tea as a inspiring, amazing tea for $6.50 an ounce either.
And I would just come in and buy all of it.
And then sometimes you just have, like, you know, good tea, uh-huh. and you feel like you got to sit with it at certain moments, and sometimes you have a tea that you just want to be, your mind got blown away, mm. you know, and be ready to also drain your bank account a little bit for that experience, you know. But I think it's worth it, and so I think eventually it all come down to how much a person can experience all the differences that a tea can offer. Mm. Now it's getting a little bit too deep. Ooh, a strong tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe we are drinking like already too much tea. I'm actually feeling the tea now. Not sure if it's caffeine or energy at this moment.
Yeah. And we had that black tea, too.
Yeah.
A little more caffeine. Mm-hmm. I feel great. I don't know what you're talking about. My headache is finally gone. My caffeine headache.
So this next infusion, I would just brew it much longer on purpose mm-hmm. to see what will happen.
All right.
Oh. Yeah.
It's an adventure.
Yeah. Sometimes it's fun to also push the teas to see if it's still okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you guys had both, you and Noah had both mentioned that last tea tasting that we had come to when mm-hmm. we did the Pu'ar, you were like, let it sit for a little bit longer than you might be comfortable with mm-hmm. and see what happens. See what you can bring out. Maybe it'll be life-changing. Maybe it'll be a more positive but subtle thing. Or maybe it could
break.
Ruin it.
Yeah.
But who knows? Who knows? The only way is to experiment and try it.
Yeah. And this way you can really get to know the tea that on the quality, how good the tea and how average the tea is. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes some of the best teas, it will really show after you push the tea. Yeah. Just let it unfold. Let it have time to unfold. Mm-hmm. You know. And then somehow after 10 minutes, the tea is just beautiful. It's like, wow. And sometimes after 10 minutes, the tea is quite gross. And then you will know.
Sometimes something turns out really good, and I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah, I know.
I'll go back and, like, try and think of, like, what I was doing when I was brewing it. And I'm like, I don't think I did anything special, but, like, I don't know. So sometimes I just have, like, a pleasant surprise where something's, like, mind-blowingly suddenly better than it was another time I tried mm-hmm. to do it. But
yeah, tea will do that. And I think sometimes we say, this is the teachers say that the tea came out to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And in a way, the tea want you to remember what can happen mm-hmm. with that specific tea. And so then we tea brewers next time will try our best to practice and to lure out that experience again. Mm-hmm. And yet I think it's a very interesting and tricky practice for me, because of course human nature is that we always want the best. Mm-hmm. We always want that happy and the perfect moment, even with tea and with other experiences. We just want it to be best all the time. And tea, I think it's a good thing to teach us, you know, like, can you sit well with not being the best moment? And then how do you call out what we so-called the best moment?
Mm-hmm.
And yet tea is, in a way, also a really wonderful teacher. He sometimes would just show up and say, look, this in a way might be the best moment for you, and you don't even know what you do. So try to do that next time,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's why, you know, we try to come in every day here to just brew a tea for at least, you know, maybe 2 weeks, the same tea every single day for 2 weeks. Try to see what we can do with that tea.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, almost every single day is it's a little bit different. And not the best moment we know.
Mm-hmm.
We know, but there's something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. Like, there is, within our capacity, there's a moment that we can reach, you know. And this has been brewed for a long time. Not sure how long, since we never time it, but we have been talking for the whole time, and it's pretty long. And it's still okay.
Yeah.
After you soak it. But a little bit bitterness, mm-hmm. shows up, a little bit dry. Yeah, dry.
Dry is a good way to put it.
Yeah, dry. And just a small hint of bitterness. But lately, I've been liking my tea bitter somehow.
Really?
And so I've been like, when there's a bitterness show up in the tea, I'm like, oh, wow, I like this.
Yeah.
And maybe next week I'll change my mind again. Say, wow, my tea is bitter. What are you doing? Really rich, almost like
mm-hmm.
juice feeling in the broth. Bubbly, and yet in a different way. Like the
I like can't think of the adjective. I'm like, splashy? That's not right. it's like kicking in that salivation feeling.
Yeah, I think
it's like that, what gives me that dryness feeling too. I mm-hmm. get like the salivation and that kind of mouthfeel.
And then the roast will kick in.
Mm-hmm.
The aftertaste, the roast. Mm.
I really like this tea.
Yeah, you mentioned dry and the roasty, and it's like, it's not quite nutty. It's not quite that kind of round flavor, but it's got something, and I can't put my finger on it either. I can't
uh-huh.
quite, and it's fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like not always knowing,
uh-huh.
but it is... It's an interesting experience.
I don't. I'm going to go home and get some of that Buddha's hand, and I'm going to grind it up, and I'm going to dry it out and see what it tastes like.
Figure it out.
I don't even know what it looks like in store yet, so we'll have to find it first. Step one.
Well, remember.
It's really funky fruit. I love the shape of that fruit. It just looks weird. It's like you guys describe, you know, like chicken feet have too many.
Yeah, too many toes on that chicken
toes, and yet it looks like a really... funky lemon skin,
because
mm-hmm. it's not as smooth as lemon.
Yeah, it's like
a bumpy lemon.
Yeah,
that had like a really
rough time.
Like a really rough time.
It had like a really rough one night stand with an octopus.
PG-13.
You're gonna have to put a disclaimer on this.
Oh, okay.
One.
I didn't say that.
Very possible.
Yeah, you can. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Whatever.
If they're both consenting adults, they can do whatever.
Wow.
This took an interesting turn.
On this note, I think we are all very tea drunk right now. And we should end the tea session. Thank you for tuning in. Please, what is that? Please subscribe. Please subscribe to our podcast channel. Is what?
We can do this later.
Okay. I don't know my own podcast channel. I don't listen ever again to this thing after it got recorded, after it got edited. I never listen. I don't know what channels I have. So subscribe it whenever you can. Thank you.
Thank you, Shawn.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for coming in. You too. I just wonderful to drink tea with.
It's better offhand comments.
Hey, everybody. This is Noah, your producer. If you like what we're doing, please tell your friends. And also, if you have any feedback or comments, you can email us at t@floatingleaves.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next Monday.